Chapter 73, Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled. Judas had left the upper chamber, and Christ was alone with the 11. He was about to speak of his approaching separation from them, but before this he pointed to the great object of his mission. He kept ever before him his joy that all his humiliation and suffering would glorify the Father's name. To this he first directed the thoughts of his disciples. Their Master and Lord, their beloved teacher and friend, was dearer to them than life. Now he was to leave them. Dark were the forebodings that filled their hearts. But the Savior's words were full of hope. He knew that Satan's craft is most successful against those who are depressed by difficulties. Therefore he turned their thoughts to the heavenly home, "Let not your hearts be troubled. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. When I go away, I shall still work earnestly for you. I go to the Father to cooperate with him in your behalf." Christ's departure was the opposite of what the disciples feared. It did not mean a final separation. He was going to prepare a place for them, that he might receive them to himself. While he was building mansions for them, they were to build characters after the divine similitude. Thomas, troubled by doubts, said, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way?" Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father, but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also, and from henceforth ye know him, and have seen him." There are not many ways to heaven. Each may not choose his own way. Christ was the way by which patriarchs and prophets were saved. He is the way by which alone we can have access to God. But not yet did the disciples understand. "Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us," exclaimed Philip. Christ asked with pained surprise, "Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? Is it possible that you do not see the Father in the works he does through me? How sayest thou, show us the Father? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father." Christ had not ceased to be God when he became man. The Godhead was still his own. Christ's work testified to his divinity. Through him the Father had been revealed. If the disciples believed this vital connection between the Father and the Son, their faith would not forsake them when they saw Christ's suffering and death. How perseveringly our Savior sought to prepare his disciples for the storm of temptation soon to beat upon them. All present felt a sacred awe as they listened with rapt attention to his words. And as their hearts were drawn to Christ in greater love, they were drawn to one another. They felt that heaven was very near. The Savior was anxious for his disciples to understand why his divinity was united to humanity. He came to the world to display the glory of God, that man might be uplifted by its restoring power. Jesus revealed no qualities, and exercised no powers, that men may not have through faith in him. His perfect humanity is that which all his followers may possess, if they will be in subjection to God as he was. "Greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." By this Christ meant that the disciples' work would have greater extent under the working of the Holy Spirit. After the Lord's ascension, the disciples realized the fulfillment of his promise. They knew that the divine teacher was all that he had claimed to be. As they exalted the love of God, men's hearts were subdued, and multitudes believed on Jesus.